Joshua chapter 4. Joshua chapter 4. So if you could turn to your Bibles. I'm going to be reading from verse 1 to through verse 8, and then I'm going to move to verse 13 and read through from verse 13 to verse 18. 12 memorial stones from the Jordan. When all the nation had finished passing over the Jordan, the Lord said to Joshua, "Take 12 men from the people, from each tribe a man, and command them, saying, 'Take 12 stones from here, out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's feet stood firmly, and bring them over with you, and lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight.'" Then Joshua called the 12 men from the people of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, "Pass on before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up each of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. When your children ask in time to come, 'What do those stones mean to you?' then you should tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall be the people to the people of Israel a memorial forever." And the people of Israel did just as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, just as the Lord told Joshua. And they carried them over with them to the place where they lodged and laid them down there. Now we're going to move to verse 13. About 40,000 ready for war passed over before the Lord for battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they stood in awe of him, just as they had stood in awe of Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Command the priests bearing the ark of the testimony to come up out of the Jordan." So Joshua commanded the priests, "Come up out of the Jordan." And when the priests bearing the ark of the covenant of the Lord came up from the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priest's feet were lifted up on dry ground, the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed all its banks as before. Lord Father, we thank you, Lord, for this reading. We thank you, Lord Father, for this opportunity to hear your word and for it to touch our hearts, Lord. We ask you that you touch Pastor Randy, Lord Father, in a way that we hear from him, we hear you through him, Lord. We just ask you, Lord Father, to not only allow this word to touch us, but for us to be able to leave transformed in a way, Lord Father, where we're closer to you. We thank you and we love you, God. In the name of Jesus. All right, now let's say our scripture declaration together. Lord, we honor your word to us. May your truth become our heart's pursuit and our life's practice. All right, thank you, guys.
Heavenly Father, today we remember those who gave their lives in service to our country. Under the banner of freedom, you saw their heroism. Father, we ask you to hold them close for it. Under the banner of sacrifice, you knew their selfless hearts. We thank you for the generosity they showed. Under the banner of liberty, they fought for our democracy. God, we praise you for the strength that you gave them to do it. And under the banner of hope, their courage still echoes, lifting us up. Today, we remember these men and women, the ones who carried the banner of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. and they did it for our sake. Lord, we ask you to help us carry these beliefs into tomorrow, to honor their lives and their sacrifice. With reverence, we remember what they gave up, a future that's now ours to live because of them. Their enduring footprints left behind will never be forgotten. So, Lord, may the banner of their lives echo continuously through ours. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Can we give that a hand? Amen. All right. Thank you so much, teenagers and kids. Y'all can go ahead and be dismissed back to your classes. And if you are here and you're staying in the services, if you'll just kind of keep that Bible app or those scriptures open, we're going to be referring to those quite a bit over the next few minutes that we share in God's Word. All right. So thanks, teenagers. Thank you, young people, for being a part of things. So as you know, this is definitely Memorial Day. And if you are a person who lost a family member to service for our country, I just want to say thank you so much. The sacrifice that they made is not the only sacrifice that is made whenever we lose somebody like that. And we're very grateful for the number of families that are there and yet affected by the service to our country. We often take for granted the things that we enjoy and the things that we experience here in our country that is just very, very different than almost any other place in the world. And I just want to be very careful that we do not let a day like today go by without saying thank you to the Lord and thank you to those who have allowed us to enjoy this type of life. And we're very grateful. So as we talk about Memorial Day and we remember and honor those who have served in Memorial Day, I want to talk a little bit about how we might learn to remember and honor in our spiritual life as well. Peter just read from Joshua chapter 4, which is an amazing passage of scripture, especially in light of the fact that God had brought Israel into being a nation by calling them out in the Exodus, out of Egypt, and into the Promised Land. But if you remember the story, there was a 40-year detour, so to speak, when they were not obedient. They did not enter into the Promised Land when they were called to enter, but instead they said, no, we can't do that, which was very, very frustrating to God because he is the very God who, at the most powerful empire in the world at that time, he brought them out, plundered them without a fired shot or a bow and arrow being slung. I mean, they made themselves into a nation because of God's hand, and he brought them out over the Red Sea. But rather than going into Canaan, they lost faith somewhere along the way. And so because of that, God said, none of you are going to enter my rest. And instead, it will be your children that will come, and they will be the ones who are obedient to me, and they will come and enter into Canaan. And so this is the story. Even Moses himself has passed, and now Joshua is the leader, and he is the one who brings them into the Promised Land. And so we're going to talk a little bit about that today. And if you heard, the story is strikingly similar. You can't read that story or hear that story without thinking to yourself, this is a lot like the Red Sea. It's almost as if God said, as I was with Moses, I will also be with you. He is the one who says to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 and all throughout the entire book, be strong and courageous. As I was with Joshua, or as I was with Moses, I will also be with you. And so as we look at this passage of scripture, we can learn some things about the crossing of the Red Sea and how God wants us to remember and honor those things that he has done in our lives. And so I want to talk a little bit about that today as we talk about and think about Memorial Day. Okay, so let's go to our next slide if you don't mind. And as we do, this is the title of it, Remember and Honor. As we keep moving here, let's talk about the definition from the dictionary. It's very simple. It is high respect or great esteem when you're talking about honor. It is adherence to what is right, but it is also to regard with great respect. And so this is the kind of thing that we're talking about here, that we honor what God has done in our lives and is doing for us with honor and great respect. And so it's important that we grasp that when God is on the move for us, he deserves our honor. Not only, well, let's be very clear. He deserves our honor, but But even if we fail to give it, it doesn't change or diminish him. It just changes and diminishes us. Can I get an amen on that? Amen? So we're the ones who are diminished whenever we don't give God what he deserves. Can I get an amen on that? Now, good. All right. Very good. Now, if you're here, and don't forget now, I'll start right over if I don't get a good amen. I'm just like needy like that, okay? But here's what I know. As we honor and show great esteem and high respect and regard with that great respect the things that the Lord is doing, it changes us and it develops us into new people that are more like what God would have us to be. But also, it's not just us that are changed. And y'all heard me talking about my, what a handsome boy. I got to see my grandson last week. Some of y'all got to meet him maybe for the very first time. And y'all told me, I don't know if you were lying to me, but you were like, what a handsome boy. And then a lot of y'all said, thank God he doesn't look like his grandfather, which was, I think, mean and rude. But you know, are still on my prayer list, so I want you to know that. No, he was just so much fun to have with us. And it's a funny thing because whenever I spend time with him, I see he's 2 years old, like literally just a couple of weeks past 2 years old. And we were talking about how much he has changed and how much he has grown and how much his personality is developing. And as a pastor and as a grandfather and as those two things kind of collide for me, I couldn't help but think, I only have so much time to pour into this young life that God has blessed us with. And, of course, his parents are the ones who are first of all responsible. But I am privileged and honored to be able to pour into my grandson, Ben. And so I really want to do that. I want him to know God better because of the time that he spends with me being productive in his spiritual life. And probably if you're a grandparent here, or even if you're a parent, don't forget you only have so much time. Even as we kind of approach graduation Sunday, you're reminded as a parent, man, I don't have them forever. I've got them for a little while, and it doesn't seem... And here's what will really, truly blow your mind if you haven't truly thought about this. Your child will be your friend more so after they leave and for a longer period of time than when you have them at home. You will most likely know your child as a peer rather than as a parent to a child because of the fact that they will grow up and you can pour into them only so much, only what they will allow. And so you have to be very, very careful that you make the very most of exactly the time that you have, and then that you set yourself up to make that difference longer than you have, if that makes sense. Y'all understand what I'm saying there? Okay. All right, so let's talk about remembering and honoring here as we go to our next slide. The 12 memorial stones from the Jordan. And this is God's commandment that Peter read. We're revisiting a little bit here, but I want to draw your attention. Here's God's command to Joshua. Take 12 men from the people, from each tribe, one man, and command them, saying, go take 12 stones from here out of the midst of the Jordan, from the very place where the priest's foot stood firmly, and bring them over with you, and then lay them down in the place where you lodge tonight. In other words, I'm about to do a miracle, and when I lay back that river that is overflowing its banks, and I stop it and I pile it up, and it doesn't flow, and you walk across on dry land, when you're walking across, I want you to have 12 people designated as men that will reach down and pick up a stone, and then we will bring it to the place where we as a nation lodge tonight, and we will build an altar with those stones. And that way we will always remember what God did, not only back at the Red Sea, but right here, right now, in this generation, in this moment where we are entering into God's promise that the other generation did not embrace. So this is important. This is very important. And God never wastes the time that he has our attention. At these moments, we are paying closer attention to what God is doing and saying. But here's the problem for all of us. And I know it's other people and not you and me, right? But we tend to forget, don't we? We forget what we ought to remember and remember what we ought to forget a lot of times as individuals. And the truth is that oftentimes we need to be remembering what God has done. But then the next time we find ourselves in a tough spot, we forget that God has always been faithful and been there. Amen. So here we see that God wants us to remember with these 12 memorial stones from the middle of the Jordan River to remember what he has done. So we've done is we've kind of laid all the groundwork, and you know what's going on in some of the context. Let's talk a little bit about something to learn over the next few minutes here. And this is, in many ways, Joshua's own parting of the Red Sea. In the same way he did for Moses, God parts the Jordan River, which lies on that edge of the promised land that God gave to the Israelites. It is the place that would become their home. Let's keep moving to the next slide as well. Another something to learn here is that the Ark of the Covenant is involved. If you go back and read this passage of Scripture, it says that the priests that were mentioned in that passage of Scripture, that the priests were carrying the Ark of the Covenant. And if you don't know what the Ark of the Covenant is, I tell you what, Colin, let's jump forward and then we'll come back. How about that? So this is kind of a picture that has been kind of remade of what the Ark of the Covenant looked like. And if you see these ringlets here on the four corners, those were the poles that they would bring through, and nobody was to touch the Ark of the Covenant because it represented the presence and the holiness of God. And so they would have these poles that they would slide through those rings. One man would carry it on his shoulder. Another man would carry it on his shoulder. And they would do that as they carried the Ark of the Covenant. And when they did, let's just understand as we go back, this is what it looks like. This is what it symbolizes. It's the portable gold chest because they had no homeland yet. And there the Israelites were making their exodus from Egypt. It always housed and was symbolic of the presence of God with his people. And it would later be kept in the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle that they would make later. This is important that we grasp. This is a nation that is just becoming a nation. It is like they were living in temporary houses. They were wandering in the desert. They had no place to lay their head or call their home. They just had to make it to the promised land, and God would bring them into a land that would provide what they needed, but they had to get there first. And so everything, even the presence of God, was a portable thing that they took with them as they traveled. So let's go on to the next couple of slides. We've already seen that one. I don't need to keep talking about it, but don't miss this. The presence of God in your life is the thing that changes things from what comes natural to those things that have the touch of the supernatural. Here's what I mean. Whenever you look back at your life with your children, with your grandchildren, with your spouse, with your family, your extended family, I have a feeling that most of us, we want to say, I can see God's fingerprints on it. I can see God's leadership in it. I can see him guiding me. And even when things were hard, I can see that he was actually moving me away from what he didn't want me to embrace and towards something that he wanted me to do or to embrace or to become. And so in the process of all of this happening, like, this is important. It is God's presence in your life that gets you there. It is not by chance. It is not by happenstance. Just like this miracle takes place because the presence of God, this Ark of the Covenant, steps into the water and then the water ceases to flow. It is God's presence that lets it flow and lets it cease. And these are important pieces that you and I have to grasp. I heard a book one time that was, it was a pastor who talked about a church that he wanted to pastor. He said, I want to pastor that church, and I want it to have the it factor. And what he meant by the it factor was that the Holy Spirit, it's impossible to fully put it into words exactly how it feels when the Holy Spirit just shows up over and over and over again. But you know it when it's there, and when it's not, you also sense it. And so what we want to be as a church family, and I'm praying this all the time for us as a church, that we would be a church that has the it factor. That doesn't mean we're buzzworthy on Instagram or anything like that. Like, that's not what I'm saying. The it factor of the Holy Spirit that's intangible and yet so tangible that we can grasp it and see that it is there. And so for you in your life, if you want your marriage to have the it factor, if you want your children to grasp and touch the it factor, if you want the things that are going on in your life to constantly feel like God's fingerprints are all over it, then you have to constantly do your very best to put yourself in the presence of God so that he can change things for you and for me and take us from the natural all the way to the supernatural. And here's where I'd like to get a good amen. Amen? Okay, so if that's what you want, if that's what I want, if that's what all of us need to truly feel the touch of God on our life and feel that live feeling rather than that walking through and plodding along kind of feeling, then it has to be the presence of God that we are constantly making room for. We're constantly saying, Holy Spirit, please be welcome here in my life, in my decisions, in my family. And even when things are impossible to know how to navigate, when you can't seem to reach your children, whenever you can't seem to find the right answers, whenever it seems like your spouse and you can't ever seem to get on the same page, this is when you need the Spirit of God and the presence of God most of all. All right, so let's go to our next slide. And this is, again, those 12 memorial stones. On that day, the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel. They stood in awe of him, just as they had stood in awe of Moses. And all the days of his life, for the Lord dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord did to the Red Sea, which he dried up until we passed over. And then the next slide continues. Here is something to learn. Notice this. The Lord exalted Joshua, and they held him in incredibly high esteem. But don't forget, there's 40 years that passed between Moses and Joshua. And it is very easy for us to forget if we do not have some sort of mechanism to remind ourselves about God's presence, God's power. And that 40 years can let you lose sight and lose vision for what God is doing in your life. So what you and I have to do is we constantly have to put things in our life. This is part of why coming to church is incredibly important, because usually about a week or two, we've lost vision for what God is actually doing in our life, and it's harder and harder for us to hear God. Why? Because it just is a human condition that we are living in a world where God's voice is not heard as easily as all the voices around us, right? And so here, God exalts Joshua, and they esteem him highly, not because of he's a cool guy, he's an amazing leader, he's the general of our troops. They exalt him. Why? Because of what God did. Because he has the it factor. God's Spirit is resting on him, and greater things are being done through him than can be accounted for just because of who Joshua is. No, something else is at work. It is the Spirit of God and the presence of God. And just know that he's leading a regeneration. He left behind a rebellious and disobedient group of Jewish people that never entered into God's best for them. So here, let me just take a moment and slow down, and let me remind you that just simply because you have had brushes with God, like the Red Sea parting, and maybe God showed himself to save you in such a way that you can't hardly even put it into words, you know that you know that you know that God showed up for you. And you can't even really fully explain how you know, but you know in your very bones. But here's the problem for us. Until we let something like that truly make it in, and we seek for another reminder, and we seek for another connection and all of that. Because most of us will be satisfied with just one touch from God and then never really worry about it ever again, because I felt that and that was amazing. And, you know, I love the gift that God gave me, not the giver, right? So as you look at this and you think to yourself, now, instead of letting that be a one-time thing, let me instead be consistently in the presence of God and let him change me and let my life become less of me and more of him. He must increase and I must, what, church? Decrease, right? And so as that happens, greater things are being done through you, because it is not of you, it is of the Spirit of God. And so it's incredibly important for us to grasp that the reason that God, you know, has us get 12 stones from the middle of a river is not because he forgets, it's because, what, we forget. And if we forget, we don't even ask for him to show up in amazing ways. He showed up in these ways, but now I face a new problem. You face a new problem with the same God who saved you before, but now you're not even looking to him, you see? And so we've got to realize that we need to remember And we need to honor what God has done. The more we honor and the more we remember, the more it just so happens that God keeps showing up. And we keep looking to Him and saying, God, there's nowhere else for us to go but to You. And then as He shows up, we are changed. Not just us, but our children, our grandchildren, our spouse, our marriage, our extended family, our co-workers, our community, our neighborhood, our church body. Like, all of these things start bearing the fingerprints of God because we have been faithful to honor and to what? Remember. Okay? So as we go on here, let's talk about this big idea, and this is the big idea. What we remember and honor will make a lasting impact upon our life. What we remember and honor will make a lasting impact upon our life. Can we say that on the count of three? Here we go. Ready? One, two, three. What we remember and honor will make a lasting impact upon our life. All right. So how many of you in here have a tradition for Christmas? Can I see your hand? You know where you're going to be. You know what you're going to do. You probably know what you're going to eat. You probably know most of who you're going to see, right? Isn't that interesting? And isn't it funny how that kind of shapes who you are? And you probably have something like that for maybe July 4th or Memorial Day or Labor Day. Maybe your family does this one thing. It's not about, you know, Christmas, but it's about Thanksgiving. That's my thing. My family has a big group that gets together. We have about 65 people that all gather together in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, and we have a good time. We eat way too much food. We see people we haven't seen in a long time, but we actually make connections. And all that stuff is something that we know is coming, and that is something that is changing me. It's something that's changed my kids because they know they're going to see these people. They're going to talk to them, and it just changes us. Why? Because what we remember and what we honor. What I mean by that is, thinking about this for just a moment, if you don't go and you don't access that fellowship, that friendship, that connection, that family connectedness, you don't get the benefit, right? And so what we remember and what we honor as a family begins to define us. One of the things that I would never, ever, ever trade is my daughters sitting at our kitchen table 5 nights a week and having dinner without my cell phone, without Shelly's cell phone, without their cell phones, and we just sit down and we talk. And I'm going to tell you something. There's very little in this world that makes me happier and brings me more joy than sitting at my kitchen table with my kids, their spouses too. I mean, I got to admit it, I like my son-in-laws. Don't tell them I said that. I don't want them to get too comfortable. But literally, like, these are the things that I would never change, and they changed our family because we prioritized it, we honored that it was important. And so I would just say to you, what you're choosing to honor in your family will make you the family that you want to be, or it will make you the family that misses the mark of where you hope to be. So you have to make a decision, and you have to make a determination. What I'm going to remember as important, what I'm going to honor and make time for, is the thing that I want for my family, my kids, my spouse, and I to become. That's the big idea. Okay. Have we already said this out loud together? I thought we did, but then I got rolling on something else, and you know, I'm not as young as I used to be, and I can't always remember what I used to remember. All right, as we move forward, I don't want to keep us any longer, but here is something that I do want to help all of us to remember. If we destroy our roots, we cannot grow. I love that part of this quote. I have no idea who that guy is, and I am thankful that that is not my name, because I would have never passed kindergarten. Can I get an amen if you can see his name? Friedrich Hundertschmarrner or something like that? I have no idea. But this German guy said, if we do not honor our past, we lose our what? Our future. If we destroy our roots, we cannot grow. I love this because if you look at the young people of today, many of them are struggling to know where they connect, where they fit, who is really a part of their life and will always be a part of their life. And so they are struggling with roots, and that's why in many times, in many situations, they're stuck and they're not growing because They haven't grasped their past. They've lost their future. They've destroyed roots. And that's part of our job as an older generation, to be a blessing and to be pouring into these young people the roots that they need. Okay, so I'm going to pick up speed here, and let's go forward and kind of in a fast-forward motion here as we go to our next slide. The 12 memorial stones, and those 12 stones, which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. And he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, what do these stones mean? Then you will say to your children, Israel passed over this Jordan on dry ground. And then to the next slide, as we see this, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan until you passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up for us as we passed over. So not only was he faithful at the Red Sea, he is also faithful again in this generation, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, that you may fear the Lord your God forever. You are passing your faith to the generation past you and underneath you. Okay, so let's go, as we go on one more time to our next slide. Don't miss this. What gets rewarded gets repeated. In other words, if you reward certain behaviors, they will get repeated. It is just a fact. If you are a person who's a manager at a, you know, at your work situation, you know what gets rewarded gets repeated. And I would say, even go a little further, what gets remembered also gets repeated. And so for your kids, if you can pour into them those things that are happening, it is so vital. And let's talk about this natural tendency. I want to jump ahead to the natural tendency on slide 23, if you don't mind. Let's talk about this very quickly. Powerful, powerful passage of scripture from Deuteronomy chapter 6 is going to be up here on the screen. While the people of Israel were in camp, if you don't mind, slide number 23. I'm sorry. I know I'm jumping forward, but I don't want to keep everybody too long. Okay. And one more forward, if you don't mind, my friend. There it is. When the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give you with great and good cities that you did not build, and houses full of all good things that you did not fill, and cisterns that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant. Can we just stop right there for a second, Colin? I know I've got you jumping all around. What is this saying? Remember that what you probably don't fully appreciate is something that would change your life if it were taken away. Can I tell you something? I live in cities that I did not build. I live in a house that was dependent on my father and my mother and their generosity and the things that they've done. I'm not saying they paid for that my house. They did not. But they raised me. They taught me. They made me a person who was able to kind of go out there and hold a job and not just simply keep moving around and on and on. And you know what I'm talking about. There are people that have poured into you. You and I are standing on the shoulders of people that we often forget. And on a Memorial Day, let's remember that the things that we enjoy in this country that we have been given, that we have never had to fight for many of us. If that is true, then the very least that we can do is be grateful. Can I get an amen? And if we're enjoying cities we didn't build and houses full of good things that we didn't do anything to fill those houses and cisterns or wells that we didn't dig and olive trees and gardens that we didn't plant, and we're reaping the fruit of that, it is very important that we never forget to be grateful, not only to our God, our source, but also to the generation that did the things for us that we didn't have to go and do for ourselves. Can I get an amen? I mean, it is important for us to be grateful. And God is saying with us, hey, don't forget. Don't forget that I'm the one who dried up that Jordan River. You didn't have to do anything. I just want you to pick up stones, remember, and say thank you for what I have done. So here's the greatest commandment. And now, if you don't mind, Colin, I'm going to jump us forward again just simply because we're running short on time. Can we jump to number 27 on Deuteronomy chapter 6, another part of this passage of Scripture? Here he says, the greatest commandment, he wants us to remember it, and he says, one slide before, if you don't mind, Colin. But now I guess I got to talk about we don't talk about Bruno, but I guess we're going to have to talk about Bruno. You guys know this? Y'all know this movie? Y'all know? All right. I had forgotten what it was like to have to watch Disney movies constantly, but my grandson Ben showed up, and I was like, oh, I got to watch it now. Okay, so I tell you what, slide number 27, if you don't mind. don't talk about Bruno. Okay, we're going to keep moving. All right, I'll come back to that another time. He talks about how we are going to write things on the doorposts of our house and on our gates, and how we're going to take time to talk about these things that God has done for us, all the different opportunities that we have. So he tells us in this passage of Scripture three ways to remember and to honor. And I want to show them to you, and then we'll talk a little bit about some of our big questions and how to apply. Let's go to our next slide. And as we do, here, this is one of our favorite times, or our favorite ways to remember. That's my daughter's. The one that is on the left is now 29. The one that is on the far right is 28, and the one that's in the middle is 24. But these are still the pictures that we show in our house. And you're like, Randy, you didn't do a great job of showing that digital frame because I see your blender on the right, and I see your, you know. Here's why. I took that picture right where it sits because I want to constantly see these memories. I want to constantly see these memories. If you've got great memories of your family, don't let them stay in your phone or on the computer. Buy yourself a digital frame and bring them out so you can remind your kids what we've done, how we've loved, how we've lived. We've got pictures of my kids at church events, at church events before we even owned and built this building. Like, they are literally in the rented facilities that we had before we began this church here in this place. Some of you don't know that story, but my kids live that story. I want them to know that that's a part of their story. But if I don't tell them, it's not a part of their story, and they've forgotten what God has done. And that is not on them as children. It is on me as the father and the parent. You guys see what I'm saying? So if your kids are not aware of what God has done for your family, it is not their responsibility. It is yours to tell them. And here's what I will tell you. My kids are telling me stuff that I thought they weren't listening to when they were younger. They're remembering stuff. They're talking to me about stuff that I didn't think they remembered. I didn't think they were listening because they didn't seem to be. They seemed to be 1,000 miles away. And I'd be talking, and it's like, am I talking to a post? I mean, I have no idea. And then they tell me these things later, and I realize that God is always at work, even when it doesn't feel like he's at work or it feels like I'm hitting home. So as we understand here, let me just share with you. I'm going to do a paraphrase of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6 says, these are the things that I want you to know. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And then he says, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to pass it along to your children. And here's how you will do that. You'll do that by talking with them along the road and sitting down and rising up. You will constantly be talking with them about these things. And then you will have artwork and you'll have monuments like stones on the other side of the Jordan. You'll have things put across your headbands that you wear that have my word written down on your forehead. And on, these are the ways that you pour into a generation who needs to know the Lord but may not be interested. You just have to keep pouring and keep pouring and keep pouring and let that it factor make its way and find its way in to the children. So real quickly, here's a couple of big questions, and I apply by. Very quickly, we'll do this and we'll close, as we do. Here's the big questions. Is there a recommitment that I need to return to? Is there something that I need to do? Just as these who were on this side of the Jordan and wanted to be in that side where the promised land was, they had to make a recommitment. The Bible tells us that as they crossed the Jordan on the other side, they reinstituted the circumcision covenant with God, and they partook of the goodness of the land, and they were like, wow, this is what God wanted to give us 40 years ago. And can I just tell you, God wants good for you. He probably wants better for you than you want for yourself. And the amazing thing is, he's the one who can bring it about, and he's the one who ought to bring it about into your life and mine. Is God's presence in my life? Do Do I see the fingerprints of God, or is that absent? And in my relationships, is there some place that I know that I need God's help and His presence? And is there something that I can do to ask His presence into my life on a more consistent basis? And then, who's watching now? Noting what's honored and remembered. And how can I maximize that impact? Do I need to be more intentional? Do I need to put more emphasis? I don't know what the Lord is speaking to you, but here's what I know. You only have so long, and what you choose to honor and what you choose to remember will change your family's destiny and direction. So you and I have to choose very, very well. Here's how we apply this message as the band comes forward. What do I honor or want to honor? You know, what is it, the thing that I actually want to honor? Maybe I'm not doing that yet, but I want to honor it. So what do I do? And when do I treat nothing is worthy of honor and cut away those roots? If I'm doing that, if I'm not truly deciding this is what I'm honoring and this is what I want to honor, if that's happening, then you're pouring into your children and your grandchildren. But if you're not, and they're just simply rocking along in life and there's nothing that's different for them, then you're going to lose them because they have no roots. And then I would just say, follow through now. Speak up now about why we honor this thing that we actually honor. And I think that's incredibly important. So we're going to sing a song that I think will be very fitting as we close. But here's what I'd like to do, if you don't mind. I'd like to pray for you, and I'd like to pray for my own life. Because ultimately, these are things that I want more so than I live. I do feel like I'm living them, but I want so much more. I don't know about you. I want to be better at having the presence of God in my life. I want to be better about having the it factor of the presence of the Holy Spirit working and leading and directing. And I want that, but that doesn't happen by, you know, me doing my thing. It's me getting on God's page. And so I just want to take a moment to pray for all of us that we might remember what God has done and be grateful for it, but also to honor what God has done and pass that along to as many as we possibly can that are nearby and watching. Heavenly Father, as we end our time together, we know that it matters to you. You wanted the children of Israel to remember what you were doing and what you had done on their behalf. And Lord, that being true, we know that you are the God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It still matters to you that we remember you and the good things that you have placed in our life. I would just pray that all of us would dedicate ourselves more to being what you would have us to be and not just simply doing things naturally, but instead we would have that touch of the supernatural in all of our relationships as well as the things that we do. May you lead and direct in all of us. May you empower us as only you are able. And Father, in all things, may we be grateful for what you have done. May we be grateful, children, for what you have given us. And may we be faithful, children, to pass along to those around us in the way that you have led. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone together said, amen.